Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast.
It seems like you know ball the way you talk, so.
Thank you. Someone clip that.
I'm not playing in your league unless I can draft myself.
Outside of football, I live a pretty boring life.
With Matt Harmon.
This is an anti-getting greedy podcast.
You can get on a podcast. You can get online. You can argue with the clouds. You can argue with the Russian bots. Don't care.
It's Tuesday, June 27th. I'm Matt Harmon. Still in the condo. Still in the condo cast. It stings a little bit. But, you know, moving Dalton Del Don with me here today for another episode of the podcast, another edition of Flip the Script. Dalton, moving is hard. Breaking news. And it takes a lot of time. So still in the condo, but excited for this episode. Like I mentioned, it's another episode of Flip the Script. And this topic particularly, I'm pretty interested to break down with you. But how you doing, buddy?
Doing well, and it'll be worth the wait. I saw that nice, sick pool setup you have at your new place. Definitely looks like a nice pool for sure. So it'll be worth the wait, man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, it'll all be worth it for sure. Definitely becoming a pool guy. That's my new thing. Figuring out how to take care of a pool. It's just one of the I've said during this whole move process, Dalton, and, you know, while also working at Yahoo, doing reception, perception, the whole thing. I'm just like, if I could just take my brain out of my head and like not think about something for a full week, that would be incredibly awesome. But actually on that subject, I should note for the listeners, we're doing this show this week. We're doing another episode on Thursday as usual, but all next week, all 4th of July week, no shows. I'm taking the whole week off of vacation. And I thought to myself, if I'm not going to do any work that week, why should Dalton, why should Andy, why should Scott, why should Brett or Colin, any of the producers have to do any work as well? That makes no sense. So no shows next week, but we've got this one here today. We've got the one on Thursday. And like I said, Dalton, this topic is going to be pretty exciting. I think for our Flip the Script series, if you've been following along as a listener, if you haven't, go back and listen to all of them. They're super evergreen. You can listen to them anytime. We're trying to go back and look at the biggest surprises from last year and predict and project who are going to be the biggest surprises this season. Today, we've got a banger, Dalton. We are trying to identify who is going to be this year's Jamal Williams. What do you think? That one should be pretty exciting.
Yes, talk some running backs. Looking forward to it. A lot of interesting candidates. I have a few that you didn't even mention here, so I'll give you a surprise list as well.
I do love the good surprise list. I'm excited to see who Dalton brought to the table. Here are our parameters for today. Essentially, we are looking to try to find which backup running back in real life is best situated to have a big fantasy season. You know, what running backs are going to be available later in drafts that can end up being mainstays in your lineup. Again, much like the wide receiver show last week with who's going to be this year's Amon-Ra St. Brown. Certainly, we cannot consider any top 24 currently expert consensus ranked running backs in this discussion. Frankly, I straight up don't think that this guy, whoever our award winner today is going to be, can even be a projected starter on their team's depth chart. Dalton, I think it is worth going back and looking at how Jamal Williams got there last year. For one, we all know he ran insanely pure on the goal line. He had 45 carries, did Jamal Williams, inside the 10-yard line, 16 more than any other running back last year, or any other player, period, last year. He had 28 carries alone inside the 5-yard line. Only one other player, Joe Mixon, had more than 28 carries inside the 10-yard line last year. So, you know, he scored touchdowns last year, that's not going to be replicable. We're not looking for this guy necessarily to be like a touchdown vulture, I guess. But I think a few other parameters for this player. We're looking for someone who played on a quality offense and a great ecosystem, kind of like the fantasy community sort of has overrated or misunderstood the projected starter. There was also obviously injury volatility there for DeAndre Swift, but I think we can comfortably say like DeAndre Swift probably a little bit overrated as a fantasy player so far in his career. And also I think for whoever is this year's Jamal Williams, they have to kind of be an underrated player in their own right overall, because I think that's what was really missed about Jamal Williams last year is that Williams is a good back, man. Good pass protector too. I know we mostly think of him as a grinder back, but he can kind of play in the pass game. So there's a lot of options for who is this year's Jamal Williams. So I don't know. Does that all make sense in terms of how Williams got there last year? Or was there anything else that stood out to you in terms of Jamal Williams' season last year.
Just to add on to that amazing red zone rushing attempts that Jamal Williams had on carries to, with goal to go in 2022, he had 38 goal to go carries. The next most was Zeke and Mixon at 22. So, I mean, nearly doubled the amount of goal to go carries. So, yes, he's an okay back, but this was situational. I mean, the Lions were scoring the most points per game at home and just producing a ton of carries in the red area. I mean, they didn't have an alternative, and they didn't have a rushing quarterback. So it's just a great situation. And so one more thing, the Lions produced 21.4 expected rushing touchdowns to running backs last year. Jamal Williams' new team, the Saints, produced just 7. And that's partially because Taysom Hill had 12 carries inside the 10. So one factor we need to look at here is one of these candidates mustn't have a quarterback that steals a lot of these touchdowns. But I think Jamal Williams' situation he was in was pretty damn near perfect. And he's going to a very different one in New Orleans.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as much as I do think it should matter, like, is this running back good? Or at least, like, how many roles can this running back fill? I think more so we are trying to find the right situation. Because honestly, Dalton, with most of these, like, whatever you want to call them, like insurance policy running backs, these guys who end up becoming... Williams was drafted for the most part in basically every league last year. He was like kind of a late round pick. But for these guys that become waiver wire heroes or the last round flyer that ends up turning into, I mean, it'd be awesome if they were like a running back one, like Williams ended up being on a season long basis. But even if they're like a mainstay running back two that you can use, you know, kind of throughout your season or at least in large chunks of the season, really, I think like ecosystem and situation matters most of all.
Williams was a tricky one, too, because I had him in the one league we played together last year. I drafted him as insurance for DeAndre Swift. So Williams was on my bench the first half of the year, and I kept expecting regression on these short touchdowns, too. And it never really happened. So he finished as one of the best fantasy values in hindsight. But I really feel like he was on the bench for a lot of the first month or so of the year. And it was just weird how it happened. It's probably unlikely to happen again. But boy, if there's a candidate, it's really right there in that same Detroit situation. I mean, not to jump the gun, but you didn't even immediately have David Montgomery on here. Maybe he doesn't qualify for you because he's the RB26 in ECR. But man, he's taking over that role in Detroit. And I love Jahmyr Gibbs as much as anyone and have him ranked obviously higher, but he had a 21% carry share inside the 5 at Alabama last year and didn't even lead the 3-9 Georgia Tech team inside the 5 carries the year before that. He's under 200 pounds. So, I mean, Montgomery's taking over this role with Jamal Williams. I mean, Jameson Williams suspended the first games. I mean, there's going to be pretty much the same role there for David Montgomery. Is he just too obvious?
Yeah, let's jump into the candidates then. And we can start with David Montgomery. Again, if you haven't listened to these podcasts, what we do is we compile a list of candidates. We narrow it down to a list, a finalist list of 3 guys. And we rank those 3 guys to decide who's going to be like the this year's Jamal Williams. Like last episode, it was this year's Amon-Ra St. Brown. Definitely go find out the receiver who got that one. You won't be surprised when you end up seeing I nominated a bunch of dudes you'd probably expect. But again, we're trying to get down to a list of 3 here. And if there is a tie break needed, Colin will break the tie for us. Last 2 episodes, Dalton, we haven't needed a tie break. So maybe we can keep a 3 streak going here and be on the same page. But I do like you bringing up David Montgomery. Yeah, really the only reason I didn't have him was I thought he was a little too obvious. And, you know, being running back 26 is, it's definitely not, you know, in that 24 drafted parameter type situation here. But I mean, he, again, I think he's kind of, I don't know, but I agree with you though. Like part of me is kind of, as you're saying it, I agree with you that he has a great role. And I do think he is an underrated player going into fantasy this year. So yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty simple, but go ahead and make the case for Montgomery.
I'm just saying no one's drafting him ahead of the rookie Gibbs, and I get it, especially in full PPR. But I mean, I just said the numbers. The guy didn't even lead his college team last year and carries inside the 5. He's under 200 pounds. Montgomery is, what, 215 plus? The situation there, again, the Lions, they traded Hawkinson. Williams is not going to come back until, you know, the second half of the year. So they're going to have a ton of carries inside the 5. It feels like Jared Goff ain't taking them. And this is the team that led the league, I believe, in points per game at home last year. They're returning the Ben Johnson offensive coordinator. It's everyone's favorite sleeper team. I mean, maybe their defense gets a little better, but I just think this is going to be this very similar situation to last year. Maybe they don't lap the field in goal line carries, but Montgomery is the favorite right now. If you had to honestly pick the favorite in goal line carries, he would be in my top 5. So, and he's not getting drafted ahead of his own back. He's considered behind the Lions running back fantasy term. So he kind of fits the candidacy here for what our little game we're playing, but it might be cheating just because it's the same role and he's getting drafted right after that top 24.
Yeah, it's pretty close, but I do think for now, let's go ahead and pencil him in as a finalist just because he makes so much sense. If we end up finding three guys in this kind of collection of other fellas we have here that are going, I think everybody else I have listed is outside the top 30 backs. And again, nobody that's like a current starter, but right. I'm with you that Dave Montgomery is the second guy drafted in his backfield. That fits the parameter here. I think he has the role pretty much all the way locked up. And I'm glad that you, again, brought up the pass catchers, because to me, that's really what sells me on like Dave Montgomery having a big, big role. And it sort of kind of has me thinking that Jahmyr Gibbs is going to have a big role too. But this team's got to run the ball a decent amount because they have a good offensive line. They don't really have a ton of dudes to throw the ball to outside of Amon-Ra St. Brown. So I think Montgomery can, like, we talked about Montgomery for this year's Josh Jacobs, and I thought he was a pretty compelling candidate for that. And so, yeah, I think we at least put him as a finalist for now. And again, if we come up with three dudes from this lesser known guys, we can bunch him out. But overall, I'm with you on, like, who do you think is a better player straight up between Jamal Williams and Dave Montgomery?
Yeah, I looked at some real under the hood nerd stats last year, and it was hilariously nearly identical. All the rush yard over expectation and yards before contact, yards after. And they're very, very similar players. Would you disagree with that assessment? I think it's, I could see an argument either way.
Yeah, it was weird to me that I felt like the Lions think that David Montgomery is like a clear upgrade over Jamal Williams. Because otherwise, like, Williams basically signed a similar contract, maybe a little bit less money than David Montgomery got, or that David Montgomery got to go to the Lions for Jamal Williams to go to the Saints. And Williams had seemed to bring so much energy and so much of a vibe to the team, right? Like, he seemed like a big locker room leader there, like a culture tone setter. So in my mind, and I guess this is what matters more than like what Dalton Del Don or Matt Harmon thinks about like who's a better player. To me, it seems like the Lions pretty clearly believe that Dave Montgomery is a better player. And I think Montgomery is probably more of a pure tackle breaker. He's probably a little bit better in the passing game, although I think people forget that Williams was a really good passing down back at times during his Green Bay tenure. And that might actually help him in New Orleans if and when Alvin Kamara ever gets suspended. So I'm with you, though, that I think Montgomery is like worth being excited about. So we'll pencil him in as a finalist for now, and then we'll talk about these other guys. Yeah, go ahead.
Let me add, I found the tweet, True Media stat. So yards per carry, 4.0 to 4.1, 10 plus yard carries, 8.5% to 8.4% last year. So very similar there. Montgomery was also a good short yardage back with a 75% success rate on carries with 1 or 2 yards to go. Williams was at 73.5%. So Montgomery was a little better. Montgomery also had more total EPA on those plays than Williams, despite less than half the attempts, and Williams is 13 touchdowns to Montgomery's 2. So seem like very similar players. And if anything, Montgomery was slightly more efficient on those short yardage carries.
And that was just last year, right?
Just last year. Yeah. You go a little bit further back and actually Jamal Williams looks a little better.
Well, yeah, but fair enough. But one guy is putting up those rushing stats in the Lions offense, which we just mentioned was one of the most efficient offenses in the NFL. Especially
great offensive line. Yeah.
Great offensive line. And the other guy, Dave Montgomery, is doing that with the damn Chicago Bears, who were not a good offense last year. And if you believe that, and they're a pretty decent rushing team, but and they obviously got a little bit of a boost from Justin Fields as a rusher as well. That typically boosts rushing efficiency, stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, I think if you believe that rushing production and you know, some of this stuff like EPA and all this is like a bleed down effect, like a trickle down effect from your overall offensive environment. If these guys are pretty similar and now Montgomery's going into a much better situation, like, yeah, he should crush this year. So I'm with you on him being a desirable draft pick. And yeah, he's kind of cheating for this award. But again, I say we put him in as a finalist for now.
Cool.
All right. Next guy I'm going to bring up here, the first candidate on my list, and he, I think, has to be the odds on favorite for this award, is Samaje Perine. With the Denver Broncos now, he obviously left Cincinnati Bengals in free agency to go to Denver. Sean Payton specifically recruited him. You could definitely point a finger at me and say this is cheating, right? Because we don't know what Javonte Williams is going to be like this year. We don't know if and when he's going to be at 100%. We don't even know if he's going to start the season, although there seems to be a little bit more optimism right now than there was probably 3-4 months ago, but all that can be made up nonsense. Right now, Javonte Williams is ranked running back 29 in expert consensus rankings. Samaje Perine is running back 39, so he fits the bill here of a backup running back. Again, Sean Payton recruited him, Dalton, and they obviously brought in some offensive linemen, Ben Powers, Mike McGlinchey. It seems like they're going to want to run the ball there in Denver. We also kind of forget how good those Saints rushing teams were, because we only think about Drew Brees putting up bonkers numbers. And I feel like Sean Payton sees Samaje Perine and thinks of Pierre Thomas. Pierre Thomas was like a nice grinder back, but could also play as a passing down player too. And that's what was interesting about Perine the last 2 years with the Bengals, is that he started taking passing down work for from away from Joe Mixon. So I think Perine is like one of my favorites for this award this year. I can easily see him. I don't know how efficient the Denver Broncos are going to be, Dalton, but I could easily see him being like, yeah, I don't know, maybe like a 900 yard rusher and potentially getting a double digit touchdowns here.
Yeah, 236 pounds of the Bengals returned to him during important situations in the past. Javonte Williams is coming back from just a different injury than Breece Hall. There was meniscus damage. This could be something that lingers throughout the year. He may not be 100% until the second half, if at all, this season. So P. Ryan's a great candidate. You look at delving into some old stats, and man, Sean Payton really could make improve an offense greatly, and especially coming from what they were dealing with last year. Maybe Russell Wilson wasn't quite as bad as we think. If the coaching might have contributed a little bit more to Russell Wilson's woes than we realized, and yeah. Now he has a big upgrade there. So I see this Broncos with those receivers could put up a lot of points. P. Ryan's an excellent candidate. Agreed.
Yeah, I love him. I'd love to push him onto the finalist list just because. Yeah. I really believe in Sean Payton, and I really think Sean Payton clearly believes in Samaje Perine. Again, specifically, like, signed him pretty early in free agency. They want to run the ball there. That's what Perine kind of mentioned when talking to Sean Payton, that was a big reason, like, hit their plans for him and stuff like that was a big reason he wanted to go there. And I definitely have my questions about the Broncos. I got my questions about Russ. I think their receiver room is still pretty overrated, although it is deep. I don't think they have, like, a true number one necessarily there. We'll have the Jerry Judy fight. We'll have the Jerry Judy fight many, many times over the next few months. We don't have to dive deep on that. But again, I think P. Ryan's in a great spot if he gets to start some games and maybe even just be in a committee with Javonte Williams all year. If Williams is kind of slowly working his way back, I think he's in a great position to have a nice fantasy season.
I came across this interesting tweet. Who knows what kind of inputs go into it, but it's ranking the current NFL offensive play callers using formation usage, efficiency, and market expectations from 2016 to 2022. And they come up with Andy Reid number one, my guy Kyle Shanahan number three, and Sean Payton number two in between them. So whatever the market expectations based on his past performance, man, this really was one of the best play callers. So should be interesting to see him with these weapons and what Russell Wilson has left and a dedicated Russell Wilson. You know, he really got himself back into better shape and it may even run a little more. So that's a very interesting team, and P. Ryan could be the beneficiary.
How many wins do you think that team has this year?
Man, it's a tough division. I don't know. Probably fighting the 9 or 10-ish around there.
But even that, like, are they going to win more games than the Chargers?
That's high. Yeah, that's high. Maybe 8 or 9 more. Yeah, yeah. They have a good defense.
I feel like.
That's a tough. Yeah,
they have a good defense too.
Yeah.
It's a really tough one because I'm with the sentiment in that tweet that I think Sean Payton is one of the best offensive. Like, I think he's definitely top three. I think it's Andy Reid. I think it's Kyle Shanahan. I think it's Sean Payton. Yeah. Maybe not even in that order. I mean, he's awesome, dude. He's a great. I know that like a lot of this Breeze gets a lot of credit and Breeze deserves a lot of credit, but my favorite thing about any offensive play caller and offensive designer is, can you evolve with the times and also with the players on your roster? And like, if you go back and look at the offense that was there the first year with Drew Breeze to like the middle peak of the Breeze era to then like the end of a Breeze. And then even what they were doing with like Jameis Winston and Teddy Bridgewater at times and the Taysom Hill stuff is a little nauseating, but like even, it's sometimes the Taysom Hill stuff was really cool. So yeah, I love Sean Payton. And that's kind of where I get stuck on. I want to get excited about the Broncos, but they play in the division with the Chiefs. They play in the division with the Chargers. I'm kind of like iffy on the Chargers though. So I don't know, man. I was all out on the Broncos last year, but I'm kind of interested in the Broncos this year just because I respect the coach so much.
Yeah, no, I feel you for sure. That is a very tough division. Poor Raiders, really. Poor Raiders.
Yeah, poor Raiders. Okay. Next candidate here, I think we have to talk about Jamal Williams himself for being this year's Jamal Williams, because he is definitely the second guy being drafted in his backfield. He's expert consensus ranked 37th running back right now. Alvin Kamara is running back 30th because we're not sure. It feels like we've been saying, well, if Alvin Kamara gets suspended for like a year now at this point, and it hasn't happened. We don't know if it's going to happen, whatever. It is interesting, regardless of the suspension, Dalton, that the Saints seemingly went out and targeted Jamal Williams, but then they also spent a third round pick on Kendre Miller, who's a prospect I like. Like, help me make sense of this Saints backfield right now.
There is upside here. As I pointed out, I think our last pod, the Saints were sixth in the league last year in adjusted net yards per attempt. And if what if Michael Thomas stays healthy with Shaheed joining new superstar Olave? So there is some upside here. But as I said, just 7 expected rushing touchdowns from the running back position last year for this team. Because Taysom Hill had 12 carries inside the 10, there is Kamara. And I like the rookie Miller as a sleeper. So I just think there's too many mouths to feed here. And I don't love Williams. I don't think he's a special talent either. I know that we've said he's solid enough, but I don't see him enough to separate himself from the bodies and the depth of this backfield. But again, Kamara, if he's suspended the whole year, things can change. But for now, I'd say I wouldn't pick Jamal Williams as my short list of candidates for this year's version of Jamal Williams.
I think if they hadn't drafted Kendre Miller, I might feel differently. But yeah, with the current construction of the roster, no, I'm with you. I think we do not have him as a finalist. Let's talk about Zach Charbonnet, rookie running back for the Seattle Seahawks. We talked about Kenneth Walker and immediately kind of eliminated him from candidacy for being this year's Josh Jacobs because he's going too high. Charbonnet is currently expert consensus ranked running back 41, well behind Kenneth Walker, who is running back 15 as we are recording this podcast. I mean, look, dude, I just mentioned those Seahawks receivers. That offense is set up to be awesome if for whatever reason, like, I think Kenneth Walker is a better running back than DeAndre Swift, period, point blank, no discussion about it. I like that archetype of player better than I like the archetype of, like, DeAndre Swift type. But there has at least been some noise in the fantasy community about, like, Kenneth Walker's success rate. Is he too boom-bust as a runner? Is his running style going to lead him to get injured more often? We already saw him get banged up as a rookie. That could sort of kind of fit the DeAndre Swift mold. And then does Charbonnet become just more of a steady grinder, do it all type guy who becomes this year's Jamal Williams? I don't know. I didn't initially think I'd have Charbonnet on my list of candidates, but I do think he kind of makes sense.
Walker's numbers weren't great at converting short yardage into touchdowns either. This offense has a ton of upside with Metcalf, Lockett, and JSN. I'm picking them to make the playoffs and maybe even threaten my Niners. I see a lot of upside here. And Charbonnet may take an injury to Walker. And I know we talk about his superiority as a receiver, but he's often compared to DeMarco Murray and he's 215 pounds. So absolutely, maybe he takes over that goal line role. For a Seattle team, that would absolutely put him in as a candidate here. So I could see it. I absolutely didn't think it at first, but looking into his size and Walker's struggles and just the upside of this offense, I could see it.
Yeah, I can see it. And it comes down to the offensive environment because, man, that Seahawks offense is set up to be so good. Like,
it is.
DK Metcalf was, he had his kind of ups and downs a little bit as in like, just like ball skill stuff, you know, some drops that shouldn't happen, you know, not necessarily always converting like 50-50 balls, stuff like that. But I he's awesome. He's a great, great player. And he might not be the best receiver on his team because Tyler Lockett's that good. And now they've got JSN in the mix and Geno Smith's coming off a good year. I don't know. I'm tempted to push. Like, again, I think we're going to end up actually having way too many finalists here. But do you think we put Charbonnet as a finalist and, again, pencil it in and maybe take him off later? Just because, like, again, he really does fit the archetype. And I feel like running back 40-ish was kind of where Jamal Williams was going last year. So the territory feels right as well.
Yeah, I'm good with putting him on there because I see more negatives with the players listed below.
Yeah, certainly. And let's start with a guy in Tyler Allgeier as our next candidate here. I think the case for Allgeier, you either have to believe that Bijan Robinson is going to get injured. I mean, any NFL player can get injured. So there is that. You have to believe that, or you have to believe he's kind of way overhyped as a prospect, I guess, which I don't buy into. Or 3, Dalton, I guess you can also believe that Arthur Smith is going to do some weird stuff with Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier is going to get more carries than people think, which I could kind of buy into. And also don't think that's necessarily a bad thing for the Falcons offense, but it would be a little bit of a like, I think if we're going to talk about Allgeier here, we also have to kind of think Bijan's fantasy season might not be what his current ADP, you know, by the way, Bijan is expert consensus ranked running back 3 in tier 1 with Christian McCaffrey and Austin Eckler. So yeah, I think that would have to be the case if we're going to talk about Tyler Allgeier as a candidate for this list.
Yeah, I hear you. Algier could be talked about because this offense has upside with Pitts and London and a really high run rate, returning four or five offensive linemen that was ranked, I think, the best run blocking unit in PFF. But Bijan Robinson would need to get injured here. They didn't spend a top 10 pick, you know, the draft capital to take him off the field in important parts of the field. So I think Robinson would just 100% would take an injury to him for Algier to be a candidate for our exercise here.
I do think Tyler Algier is pretty good. It was really awesome down the stretch last year, especially
Patterson's
from an efficiency
there too, though.
Standpoint.
I mean, Patterson mm-hmm. can take touchdowns too, though. But I hear you. Algier was good for sure. He impressed.
Yeah, he's a good player. Obviously, like quiet 1,000-yard season as a rookie. He was really high up there in terms of like success rate on his runs, EPA per rush. I think some of that is certainly the offensive environment. Like I'm not going to do the Falcons thing here. I do the Falcons thing on like every podcast seemingly, but love that offense. Love the way they run the ball, especially. And I think Algier sort of kind of benefited from that. But I think he's going to have a role. And there are certainly, if you're drafting Bijan Robinson on your fantasy teams, like get ready to say, you know, damn it, Tyler Algier, at least a few times this year, because that's going to happen.
Fair. I could see it for sure. I am worrying backing off a little. I like Breece Hall round three a lot more than Bijan Robinson round one. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah,
I think it's 50-50. Hall could even outperform. I mean, Hall's the better athlete. But it's Aaron Rodgers is his quarterback. And it's Desmond Ridder versus Robinson with these other competition. Man, Robinson's draft price is really scary. I'm probably going to take a receiver. I love these rookie young guys, normally the upside. But yeah, I don't know. Algier's a good player.
Yeah, look, you're like breaking ties in the first round type thing. It's just like running back three, tier one in these expert consensus rankings. And look, maybe I'm talking out of my ass. Like maybe I end up having Bijan Robinson as my running back three. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with that. But at the same time, yeah, if I'm on the clock and like for whatever reason, Jamar Chase is still there, I think I'm going to go Chase over Bijan Robinson. I could even talk myself into Cooper Kupp or Tyreek Hill or, you know, Stephon Diggs, like any of these guys, I think I might prefer to the non-CMC, non-Austin Eckler running backs. And anyway, like, by the way, like, I'll say this before Eckler comes on the show this year. I mean, there are questions about Eckler's profile this year. So, yeah, I don't know. These running backs, man, it's tough. It's difficult.
Yeah, Jonathan Taylor, Bijan Robinson, Eckler, and Barkley, to me, are a one tier behind CMC that I just keep could really interchangeable for me. But I love if you can get Pollard or Breece Hall in the third and get a receiver in the first. That's my ideal start.
Yeah, same here. I think we're on the same page. I also think we're on the same page. Not having Tyler Algier as a finalist, although he is a very good running back. Next guy I think I want to talk about here is Jalen Warren. I want to do a show. Hey, Colin, I'm telling you this as we're recording it. I want to do a show when we get back from this July 4th break. Like all the news you missed in minicamp and like, does it matter? So maybe to put that on the back burner for now. One guy that's certainly going to come up in that show is Jalen Warren. Like, people like the Pittsburgh beat writers are, you know, Mark Caboli for The Athletic wrote about like, oh man, Jalen Warren, this guy looks so good. He looks awesome. There's no way Matt Canada is going to be able to keep him off the field as much as he did last year. Jalen Warren popped up a little bit at times last year, Dalton, as a guy that was kind of supplementing Najee Harris at times. But Harris has been maybe not an exciting back, but he has been able to take on a ton of carries, a ton of volume. You know, he is certainly like a bit of a grinder back at this point. And Warren added a nice dimension. But there are people out there that are really, really excited about Jalen Warren. Where do you stand on the whole Jalen Warren thing in the context of the Steelers offense?
I was falling for the hype. And then I took a step back and realized that he's 5'8" and ran a 4.55 40. And I do think there's some merit to the situations they were putting him in when you compare yards per carry and Najee Harris is far higher draft capital. He performed far better in the second half last year, the further removed he was from that foot injury. So I think he's just nice insurance and probably a little overhyped, and it would fully take an injury for him to enter the conversation that we're talking about here. So I'm kind of pumping my brakes and trying to realize that these are beat writers, probably overhyping it. And I think Najee Harris is still going to get the vast majority of the touches.
Yeah. Chris Wessling always used to talk about like the guy, like the archetype of players that would always get overhyped in mini camps and OTAs, like padless practices. One, it's always the like shifty slot receiver who's not really like necessarily a great route runner. Paris Campbell with New York Giants.
I'm looking at you. I'm like, that fits your guy who you, yeah, you do not like. And he's getting a ton of hype right there. Yeah. Paris Campbell.
That was the classic, like, and by the way, like Bruce Ellington was that guy that I fell for the bait. And like, I remember Wes calling me out for that and him being correct and me being wrong about the Bruce Ellington with the thing with the San Francisco 49ers. That like sort of never, although man, I thought Ellington could have been good if he never got hurt, whatever, not the point. Paris Campbell, like classic type archetype of a guy that's going to get overhyped in minicamps, but like the scat back guy, Jaylen Warren is another guy who always gets overhyped in these like padless practices, really pops for just like a beat writer watching practice, stuff like that. But I think Jaylen Warren could be a really good player. I think he was a really good player last year, but you're so right to point out that all yards per carry is not always created equal. Like it's very situational based. And like, if we think that the Steelers offense is going to take a little bit of a leap this year, and I could kind of believe that it's going to take a little bit of a leap this year, it's going to also have to, that's going to help Najee Harris as well, along with Jaylen Warren. So you basically think that Jaylen Warren most likely has no standalone value without a Najee Harris injury.
Correct. Undrafted, not super athletic, not a great receiver. Yeah, I think Najee Harris partially was playing through that injury last year. He's a better player. And it's going to take an injury for Warren to be fantasy relevant.
This next guy I find really interesting for a potential finalist nomination here, Kenneth Gainwell of the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm going to tell you right now, Philadelphia Eagles running backs, DeAndre Swift is expert consensus ranked running back 25. Nope, that's going to be a pass for me. Rashad Penny, running back 35. Okay, no, I think that's actually pretty plausible for Rashad Penny. And you got to scroll all the way down to running back 50 for Kenneth Gainwell in terms of expert consensus rankings. And I'm interested. I'm really interested in Kenneth Gainwell there because this is a player, again, if we're talking about who's this year's Jamal Williams, kind of comes out of nowhere to give you like a good, like a strong running back season. Well, number one, we've seen, last year's Jamal Williams usurp DeAndre Swift, who's on the Eagles roster. I think the move for DeAndre Swift sort of got overhyped, Dalton. Like, they basically gave up nothing for the guy. Like, it looks like a thing where they might get, like, a compensatory pick if he doesn't re-sign this year. I don't really think that a player of Swift's talents really even fits what the Eagles necessarily do as, like, a downhill grinding running team. I think Rashad Penny could, but we know Rashad Penny's not a guy who is known for staying healthy. So we could sit here all offseason and talk about, oh, DeAndre Swift versus Rashad Penny and, like, Kenneth Gainwell, a guy that the Eagles coaching staff has trusted in pretty big moments in his career. I think he could end up being the guy who ends up quietly emerging from this backfield as the best pick in fantasy.
Yeah, DeAndre Swift's bigger. Trey Sermon's bigger. Penny's the man. I think it's nonsense. The fact that Penny might get cut is silly. He's been cleared. Yeah. He's one of the best rushers in the league when healthy. So I would be shocked if Penny does end up cut. Gainwell, I don't know, 200 pounds. Jalen Hurts gets the most goal line carries of anyone in the league, stealing the touchdowns. I don't love the Gainwell one. I think he's just going to be more of a complimentary guy. But people do love Gainwell. I understand. Actually, people reached out to me and said I have him ranked too low, and I moved him up. But I'm a Penny guy. Maybe he'll just get hurt immediately, like as usual. But there's Swift. Yeah, maybe laugh at Trey Sermon. But the Jalen Hurts issue, to me, is a huge obstacle for Penny to get a lot of rushing touchdowns.
Totally. I mean, Miles Sanders had, what, 11 last year? So
yeah, and he had a ton of red zone. You're right. They have a really good offensive line. That's a pretty decent counter. Yeah, Miles Sanders did have 11 last year. But yeah, I mean, Gainwell would have to emerge and beat two, three other injuries. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. I just love Rashad Penny.
Yeah, looking at it right now, I mean, it's pretty insane that inside the 10-yard line, we talked about all of those. Jamal Williams, 45 carries inside the 10-yard line. Joe Mixon, 29. Jamal Williams had 28 carries inside the 5, to remind you from the top. Miles Sanders, 26 carries inside the 10. Jalen Hurts, 26 carries inside the 10. They're the third, tied for third in the NFL there. 20 carries inside the 5, 11 carries for Miles Sanders, Jalen Hurts, 20. So, yeah, I mean, that's definitely going to impact whoever is playing running back for the Eagles. But I just think that, like, by the way, like, are all three of these guys going to be active on game day? I don't know. Like, is Boston Scott going to not make the roster? He's kind of like a do-it-all guy for them. Kenneth Gainwell's been sort of a do-it-all guy for them. I don't know that I want to say he's this year's Jamal Williams, but I can make a pretty good case for why he's a good pick at running back 50. I guess it's probably like more of what I'm saying here as opposed to him being this year's Jamal Williams.
All right, two things I'll say. Hurts scored 10 rushing touchdowns from inside the two last year, and that push play remains legal, but maybe he gets injured and that changes some things. And I will say a favorable thing for Gainwell is, man, the Eagles are so good in neutral situations. They're first in plays per 60 minutes, first in pace, second in no huddle rate. I mean, that really helps your fantasy team when those guys are just constantly running plays and scoring points. So yeah, Gainwell could emerge. I get it. There's upside. This is the best offensive line in the team that nearly won the Super Bowl last year. So there's certainly upside there. I just I don't know what to tell you. Penny's just going to be the league winner this year. That's my counter.
Hey, look, I'm also, like I said, if I'm thinking about guys I want to draft, DeAndre Swift is the least appealing one for a variety of reasons, also because he's the highest ranked guy here. But yeah, I'm fine with Rashad Penny at running back 35. And I'm with you that I think he ends up making the roster here for sure. So, all right, we can move on from Kenneth Gainwell, though. I think he's got some appealing notes in his portfolio there.
Let's, you know, that guy's one of the greatest collegiate seasons of the past 25 years, right?
Who?
I don't follow college much, but didn't he have one of the best seasons in the last like 25 years? No, Penny.
Oh, Penny. Yeah, sure. I don't know. Dude, I don't know. I don't follow college football either.
You'll know more about him after this year. That's all I'm saying. All right, move on. We've got to stop talking about Rashad Penny. All right, he's going to get injured by the time this podcast airs.
Wait, listen, we do not have to stop talking about Rashad Penny. I think you could make a case that Rashad Penny is this year's Jamal Williams. Do you want to make a case for Rashad Penny as this year's Jamal Williams? Because, like I said, DeAndre Swift, 25, Rashad Penny, 35. If I was going to give you some crap about, you know, David Montgomery, like, Rashad Penny's way, way lower than Dave Montgomery. So go ahead and make the case that Rashad Penny is this year's Jamal Williams.
I think I jinxed him enough, but yes, his last year playing college football, in 13 games, he had 25 touchdowns and 2,250 rushing yards. In 13
yeah,
games,
25.
Yeah, I mean, that's all right. But yeah, I think he's just needs to stay healthy. That small little problem hampering him. But the upside's there in that offense with him. And yeah, he's 222 pounds and Gainwell's 200. So yeah, Penny could be the guy getting all. If he gets these goal line carries and DeAndre Swift gets injured like he always does, man, I will back my guy. But again, it's a long shot that he does actually stay healthy. I'm only halfway tongue in cheek here. But man, I don't think people realize how, just truly how good he is when he actually is on the field.
Oh, he's super good. I think you can't doubt the talent. I think in a universe where both of these guys are healthy and they both play 17 games, or for God's sakes, even 15, a piece, I think I would take Rashad Penny as a better football player and as a better fantasy back than DeAndre Swift, like straight up. So the fact that, and I think that they didn't invest much in Penny, and I don't think they invested much in DeAndre Swift either. Like, I think they're basically taking all of, like, there's a chance, by the way, Dalton, that if that happens, like, this is just one of the most weirdest committees in the NFL between Swift and Penny. And because I do think Gainwell will mix in some form or fashion. And yeah, maybe even Boston Scott mix in, maybe even Trey Sermon mix in. I don't know about all that. But again, it's like, I think it's going to easily just be a committee. But I'm down for Rashad Penny enthusiasm. And at running back 35, if he gets hurt, no, you're not allowed to complain about that. Okay. Like, he's running back 35. So if you're like, oh yeah, he's just going to get injured. Well, that's why he's drafted at running back 35. So give me a break.
Scott Barrett tweet, top NCAA RB seasons by yards per team play since 2000. Number two, Christian McCaffrey. Number three, LaDainian Tomlinson. Number one, Rashad Penny in 2017. Running back leaders, career yards per carry in NFL history, minimum 300 career attempts. Rashad Penny, number one, 5.7. Number two, Bo Jackson. Number three, Jamal Charles. All right. He's the best yards per carry in NFL history.
Do you want to put him as a finalist?
I mean, yes. Put Penny on there. Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Who do you want to take off?
I want Colin to not pick him. Who are the other ones?
Montgomery, P. Ryan, Charbonnet.
Okay, fine. Take out P. Ryan.
No, I'm not taking. No, I'm not taking out P. Ryan.
Okay.
So
just add Penny, and Colin can dismiss him right away.
Sounds good. Perfect.
Okay.
All right. Rashad Penny somehow has broken my hard and fast rule on this very serious podcast about three finalists. So congratulations, Rashad Penny. You can add that to the list of awards along with his like college yards per like his college yards per carry participation trophy, or you can put right next to it was a fourth place finalist on a made up podcast in June 2023. So congratulations to Rashad Penny for that. All right, another yards per carry stud. My next guy here, I got a couple of deeper names here for my last ones before. I don't know how Dalton's going to have more left in the chamber for his surprise list at this point. But another yards per carry stud, Gus Edwards, who is my next candidate here, someone I want to mention. His yards per carry over his entire career, 5.2 is Gus Edwards. 5.2 as a rookie, 5.3 as a second-year player, 5.0 in 2020. And last year, coming back from a serious injury where he missed the entire 2021 season, he again averaged 5 yards per carry. I get it. Yards per carry is not just a running back-only stat. Some of it is the team he plays for. Well, he's still playing for the Ravens is Gus Edwards. And he actually is on a pretty decent contract too. You know, J.K. Dobbins, there was maybe some contract tension in training camp or in OTAs. Doesn't sound like he's going to bleed into training camp because why would it? But I don't know, man. Gus Edwards, pretty good back. Someone I at least think we should mention here could potentially factor in more than people are expecting right now. I don't know if I could push him into a finalist, but again, I think Gus Edwards is an interesting guy to mention here.
Yeah, he's a good candidate to be a finalist. I just love Dobbins this year. Hopefully he's back to 100%, but he hasn't been able to stay healthy, as you mentioned, holding out. But and there's no one else on that depth chart. Todd Monken calling the plays now with the best receiving group that Lamar Jackson's ever had. I think they have 6 first-round wide receivers on their roster. It's funny when you count in guys like Aguilar, but it's the
draft.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of playing with it there. But yeah, you like the setup there. If Dobbins were to go down, Edwards could be a beast at the goal line with no one else there. Maybe Jackson tries to stay healthy and doesn't run as much there. And definitely a candidate here, but we probably have better options. But I see why you did him here. I just think Dobbins is going to bounce back here and have a real nice season.
Me too. Yeah, I think, you know, Gus Edwards, again, he's similar to the Kenneth Gainwell thing where if you want to take Gus Edwards running back 53 in consensus rankings right now, I'm totally fine with that. I'm okay with you making that move there. Like, I probably would rather have a guy like Gus Edwards than Jalen Warren, and Jalen Warren's running back 49 right now. You know, Devin Achane running back 48. I think I'd probably rather have Gus Edwards just because, like, if Dobbins gets hurt again, he's gonna have a big season as Gus Edwards. And it's totally an offense I think I want to buy into the Ravens this year. So, yeah, but probably not a fit for this list. Last guy I'll mention before we get to Dalton's secret list here, which is just going to be Rashad Penny 6 times over. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Oh, my God. Yes, I know that Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Listen, people are excited about Isaiah Pacheco. I love Isaiah Pacheco and the way he plays the game, but he has an injury right now that might linger into training camp. He's running by 27 in consensus rankings. Jerick McKinnon, who I could see Jerick McKinnon being worth a discussion here, is running back 42 in consensus rankings. And old buddy Clyde Edwards-Helaire, all the way down in tier 7, running back 55. How the mighty have fallen for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I don't know. You listen, teams blow smoke, but there's at least some like, oh yeah, you know, I'm not totally giving up on CEH for the Kansas City Chiefs. Andy Reid's kind of said that. So it would probably take Pacheco not working out. It would probably take McKinnon like falling off an age cliff. But I'm not even the biggest CEH guy in the world here, but I'm at least keeping a small like, kind of eyebrow raised at CEH and potentially having a decent year this year. It is the Chiefs offense after all.
Yeah, former first round pick. We saw Josh Jacobs blow up his after his 5th year option was declined, right? And then he, Jerick McKinnon scored 10 touchdowns last year and he's 31 years old. He got caught 9 basically inside the 5-yard line. I could see CEH just taking over that role and getting a dozen touchdowns, even if he doesn't, you know, become a better NFL player. But it's entirely possible he finally stays healthy. You look at the list, the gallbladder surgery, the ankle sprains, constantly playing banged up. But man, they drafted this guy in the first round. He was an exemplary receiver at LSU. And who knows, maybe the light bulb goes on. He stays healthy, still in his prime in the Chiefs offense. It seems far-fetched, but Pacheco, I mean, I could see CEH here. It's a long shot, but it's definitely the right parameters for it to happen.
Yeah, I think he's worth a discussion. I don't think I can push him in as a finalist over any of the four. Now it's four names we have here. But I do think he's worth discussing, unless you think he's worth pushing as a finalist.
No, we got enough. Yeah, it's okay. Enough. We got enough.
Okay. Well, hit me with your secret list of names here for who is going to be this year's Jamal Williams.
Oh, this very quickly. I could just see Jeff Wilson emerging at Miami with an offense there. He's the big back there, scoring a lot of touchdowns. Your guy, Brian Robinson in Washington, if that offense does well, and Sam Howell isn't going to steal many goal line carries. I know I keep talking about how my guy Sam Howell's rushing ability, but I guess he like ran a slower 40 than Peyton Manning. And so his rushing skills may not translate in the NFL as much as I had hoped for fantasy terms. That's not to say that offense still can't be good, but yeah, his rushing may not be quite as much as I had given him credit for as far as translating into the NFL. But my other candidate here, I actually kind of like, even though I'm in
real quick, just on Brian Robinson, he's a great candidate, but just because he's the first guy drafted in his backfield at running back 31, Antonio Gibson's running back 36, feel like he didn't really make sense.
All right. So what about Damian Harris? I love James Cook, but he's under 200 pounds. Damian Harris is 1 year removed from running for 15 touchdowns. Josh Allen, they publicly said they want him to run less. It's an awesome, awesome offense. I mean, James Cook, you know, who knows? So I can see Damian Harris just absolutely rushing for 15 touchdowns, even without injuries striking before him. So I kind of like Damian Harris as a sneaky candidate, but I think we've come up with plenty of good names to go from.
Running back 32. James Cook is expert consensus rank. Yeah, Damian Harris is running back 38. So I overlooked him just because I thought like, hey, people are kind of buying into Damian Harris. But look, dude, I would absolutely put Damian Harris does he make more sense for this award than Dave Montgomery? Just because like there's a more than 10 spots of rankings worth for Dave Montgomery at 26. And I'm kind of surprised James Cook is ranked ahead of Damian Harris. The only thing I'll say about Damian Harris that has me a little spooked is that like Latavius Murray has the exact same contract as Damian Harris.
Yeah,
like,
he's another big back for sure. Yeah,
that's kind of a total toss up. Like we could sit here and talk ourselves into Damian Harris. And again, I'm really excited about like when that signing first happened, I was like, that's perfect. Damian Harris is going to have a great role. Then Latavius Murray signed again for kind of like the exact same money. And, you know, you could sit here and say, like, Latavius Murray's older, he's washed, whatever. But he had a good year last year in a crappy Denver Broncos environment. He, like, actually had some good games for the Denver Broncos. So that's my only hesitation here in Damian Harris. Just that, like, the pathway, the runway is not totally clear for him to have the role that I think he would. That if he was in that role, I would absolutely want to put him on this list.
And Josh Allen could steal goal line touchdowns too. But okay, I just wanted to throw him out there. We have a lot of good candidates for Colin to choose. Hopefully he chooses wisely this time for once.
Okay, for once, yeah. Okay, so Dalton, first before we throw it to Colin, if we need to throw it to Colin, we have four candidates. You get to rank these guys 1 to 4, most to least likely to be this year's Jamal Williams. You rank them, I'll rank them, and if necessary, Colin will break the tie. So Dalton, give me your 1, 2, 3, 4. Of David Montgomery, Samaje Perine, Zach Charbonnet, who is most likely to be this year's Jamal Williams?
Okay, I'm going to go 1 Montgomery. Maybe it's cheating, but it's just so perfect, sliding right into that role in the Lions. It's 1 Montgomery if we're going to make him a finalist. 2, my guy Penny. If he can stay healthy in the Eagles offense, I really do think wheels up. And I'm going to go 3 Charbonnet and 4 Perine just because Javonte Williams is going to return and get some carries there. So 1 Montgomery, 2 Penny, 3 Charbonnet.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go number 1. I mean, we're definitely going to have a tie break now. I'm going to go number 1, Samaje Perine. I think he makes a lot. Nah, you know what? I'm not going to go number 1. I'm going to go number 1. Actually, Zach Charbonnet. I'm going to go number 1 for Zach Charbonnet. Because that, after talking about it, I really find myself kind of buying in on that. Even if Kenneth Walker ends up being a really good player. And then number 2, I am going to go Perine for number 2. David Montgomery, I'm going to go number 3 just because he is the most obvious candidate. I'm dinging him a little bit, and yeah, I'll go number 4 for Rashad Penny. So in total, we've got David Montgomery with a total of 4. We've got Samaje Perine with a total of 6. Zach Charbonnet with a total of 4. Rashad Penny with a total of 6 in terms of like our rankings here. So that does mean that Colin, you get to break the tie between David Montgomery and Zach Charbonnet, who is more likely to be this year's Jamal Williams.
You know, after a few episodes of consensus, I don't think we've seen this much variance in a list, Harmon, since we started the series. But
I don't think so either.
I think the pick for this award has to be Zach Charbonnet. And reason being is, I think
not Rashad
what you
Penny.
Said, not Rashad Penny. No upset here today. But I think what you said earlier about Walker being a boomer bust player, he was the same way at Michigan State. I think he's great, but I don't see him being, you know, playing 1 through 17. And I think we know one thing about Pete Carroll. He loves to use a lot of running backs. He's shown that throughout his coaching career. So I think Charbonnet is going to get plenty of that goal line opportunity and plenty of general opportunity. And I think he's going to be a real steal for people who take him later in the draft. So let's give the award to Charbonnet.
Dalton, your response.
It hurts. It's painful. It hurts. They're going to be calling him Rashad Benjamin by the end of this year because he's going to be racking up the hundreds. But it's all right. I'll humbly accept defeat here again, once again.
I mean, defeat. Who is anybody a real winner here when we're talking about like all these running backs? There's a reason that we have a complete variance in this is because it's like, it's a different, like chaos reigns supreme in the NFL. Like that's why a guy like Jamal Williams can have a season like he did last year. Cause like random stuff happens at the running back position. But Dalton, like you're projecting that at some point, Javonte Williams comes back and is like himself. I'm projecting he probably doesn't. You know, you're projecting that Rashad Penny is the GOAT. And I'm saying like maybe Kenneth Gainwell matters more than people think. You know, we're both kind of like maybe I'm a little more skeptical of Kenneth Walker, even though I'm not like, dude, I don't even know what we're talking about here at this point. It's a hard one. It's a hard one to do. It's a hard one to do.
Yeah, that was a fun exercise. I think the listeners hopefully were the winners here. But I think the Seahawks offense is going to be dangerous, and I'm worried as a Niner fan, honestly, that why did the league let JSN fall that far? It's infuriating. But Charbonnet could be a big beneficiary, and I won't push too back. I mean, if Kenneth Walker got hurt, suffered a serious injury, Charbonnet would be treated as a top 15 fantasy back, if not top 10.
And the thing too, the reason I ended up thinking, okay, Charbonnet is my guy here for this award is similar to Jamal Williams, where Kenneth Walker doesn't even have to suffer a major injury. He has to suffer like some sort of injury to cause him to miss like 3 weeks. And Charbonnet just is awesome in those 3 weeks and becomes like kind of an identity point in that offense, similar to what Jamal Williams did. Like, you know, like that sort of change, I think, changed the calculus for the Lions. Like, oh, this guy's just doing it. Like, what do we need to try to make the, you know, DeAndre Swift thing work? Like, we just go with old Jamal Williams here. And I feel like the Seahawks sort of similar. They might go into the year thinking Kenneth Walker is going to get 18 touches and Zach Charbonnet is going to get 11 or something like that. And then Walker gets hurt in week two, misses 3 weeks with some sort of injury. And then Charbonnet's awesome in those games. So like, That can happen too with an award like this. And I think both of us are on the same page. Number one, that Seahawks offense is going to be good. And especially for you listeners out there, whether you agree with me or Dalton or whatever on our list here, or maybe you even believe it could be like somebody that we left off the list. I think we gave you a pretty good list of running backs to like kind of keep on your late round waiver wire speed dial this year if chaos does hit any of these backfields.
Just want to quickly say you like Charbonnet. I love JSN. Pete Carroll, notoriously known for playing his young players. What could go wrong? I'm seriously, he's just going to stick with the. I mean, even there's this reports that he loves that 12 personnel. And he's like, what's play those the two tight ends? I mean, JSN may not even see the field as much as we hope, but. These things tend to work out, but it must be noted that Pete Carroll, I mean, we are hyping up these young guys and he does make them earn it in the past.
Yeah. Just draft Tyler Lockett. That's it. Tyler Lockett.
Dalton, you hurt your case too against Charbonnet because you compared him to DeMarco Murray. And as a Dallas Cowboy fan,
we almost made it an entire podcast without some random Cowboys anecdote, and yet here we are somehow some way. So congratulations, Dalton, that one's on you. All right, good stuff, Dalton, appreciate you, man. Rashad Penny to the moon, we love to see it. I will see you, Dalton, when we get back from this Matt Harmon induced 4th of July break. For the listeners, that's going to do it for this show. But again, we conclude our Flip the Script series on Thursday when we try to ID who is going to be this year's Jalen Hurts, a sort of kind of dark horse quarterback one candidate, a fantasy MVP candidate. I don't know if we're just going to stick with quarterbacks or we're going to do like full-on fantasy MVP. Who knows? We'll figure out before the show. The exciting part is, though, Andy Behrens is going to join us for that. Until then, we're out.